T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We'll talk to him about that. Right now, we're joined by Matt Dennis, electronic monitor provider and bail agent, who had a presentation. NOPD talked to him about electronic monitoring. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I think if the crime problem's going to be settled, or at least, let me put it this way. The judicial system in New Orleans with keeping an eye on criminals is ever going to be fixed. You're going to be a part of it. Let me put it that way. Tell me what happened this week talking to NOPD.
Okay, this week is real simple. We do, you know, the continued cooperation and partnership and outreach from NOPD. Beautiful. It works. A class was given to everybody that matters in NOPD to make sure that they understand the value of the equipment that's out there and what's being done. There's a whole lot of things that can be accomplished when everybody works together. And crime prevention, crime, you know, solving crimes, you know, if you're wearing an ankle monitor and you're committing crimes, you're going to go to jail, period. I'm warning anybody out there in the city on ankle monitors, if you're wearing it and you commit a crime, you're going to get arrested. So don't do it. Okay. So the fact of the matter is we have, you know, close to 300 people in the city that are some of the worst criminals, accused of some of the worst crimes. And by and large, they're behaving and doing what they're supposed to do, following the judge's order. It's the judge's job. The judge gets that information and they handle it. And it works well. But if NOPD isn't involved, then you have a broken wheel. And NOPD is heavily involved. Not only NOPD, but the state police, Jefferson Parish, St. Bernard Parish. I implore every sheriff in the community surrounding Baton Rouge, all of you. People from New Orleans don't stay in New Orleans. And just because a guy's on an ankle monitor for New Orleans doesn't mean he won't commit a crime in Baton Rouge. And it's not just murders. It's carjackings. It's shoplifting. It's car theft. It's home burglaries. You should be checking. Check. You can check, and we can show them how. So, but your previous segment is one of the most exciting things happening right now in the city. I can tell you right now that, not just the city, but the state, that is the infection. If you get that iron curtain out from in front of juvenile court, you will solve this problem.
Let me jump in for a second, Matt. For people that just tuned in, we were talking to Representative Stephanie Hilferty about, basically, if you have a second offense, felony or violent crime, juvenile or not, people have a right to know who you are, and I was saying, and I think it's right, that at that point, you're not a kid anymore, you're a criminal, and you deserve to have your name out there, and people should be able to be warned about who you are and what you might be up to. Talk about that iron curtain, if you will, Matt.
Typical of what I do for a living and have for 30 years, I have a different perspective. I see you on the front end of crime and people's reactions, but here's my perspective. Mm-hmm. I have a person that's in my program because there's nowhere to put them. We don't have juvenile facilities. We don't have space. We just recently did stories last fall about the state notifying everybody, you're keeping your own kids because we have no room. Mm-hmm. So they have programs like us. And the problem the Iron Curtain creates is when little Johnny does wrong and we send a detailed report to the judge and the judge does nothing, who can I tell? I can't tell Raphael. I can't tell you. I can't tell the FBI. I can't tell anybody. And the judge gets to just freewheel. And I'm not picking on the judges. I'm picking on this law. The law that put that iron curtain there to make it to where we can't even communicate is insane. Mike Pearlstein needs to be able to see what the offender, we don't need their names. Nobody in the community needs the kid's name. But you need to know the crime, the date, the victims. You need to know the truth so we can watch the system work. The Iron Curtain has killed the system, and it's killing our city.
Tell me about proximity reporting, and you're a fast-paced guy, so I want to lead on looking at how this could help, not just after the fact, but in real time when people are not where they're supposed to be.
When you have, you know, people want to shoot high and see murder, but let's just talk about shoplifting. Serial shoplifters will travel through parish to parish to parish, and they will rob every store out there. And they do it, believe it or not, people wearing ankle monitors commit crimes. It's amazing. They do. But if you use the system properly, each of those parishes can actually figure out who's doing it and go get them if they're on that ankle monitor. And then you'll have the evidence to convict them. And all they need is the crime date and the crime place. And if they put that in and you were wearing an ankle monitor, they're going to get you. So don't do it. I'm warning the people on ankle monitors. Don't be committing crimes. You're going to go to jail.
So is this a proactive thing? I'm just wondering where the police department gets involved with you and who gets a report of what doing when, just because you know this. You work with this every day, but people listening may not get it.
If there's going to be a murder committed or an armed robbery committed, I envision a police officer sitting down with their cell phone, their laptop, their patrol car, computer, whatever, and running a simple proximity report. And if you are wearing an ankle monitor, you're going to get caught. And now here's what you really are doing. You're taking 300, 400, 500 of the city's most notorious, and you're checking them off the list. You're at least eliminating a whole series of suspects. And that's very important when you look at the total number of criminals in the city, 300, 400, 500 people. That's a pretty big chunk. So if you can eliminate them off the bat, you've reduced the suspect list.
I'm just wondering, in Jefferson Parish, Orleans Parish, differences, because it seems like, or does, let me ask it differently. Matt, run it parish by parish. Is one parish better than the other at doing this, or worse than the other?
Gretna runs a great program for Jefferson. Their downfall, and it's typical of that type of program. The government-run, taxpayer-funded programs have a limit. They can only do so much. They're limited by the ceiling put in place by the budget and then by the politicians that get involved with the way it works. So, but they do, the Gretna police actually run a very good program. But they have shackles on them that restrain them. They can't let people work. They can't do a lot of the details that we do. And one of the other problems is when police do it that way, they're pretty notorious for not really caring. They just take you to jail. And I'm not saying that that's what Gretna does.
Wait, say that again?
But like a person that doesn't charge or has an issue, a small issue that could be corrected, ends up back in jail where the courts really kind of screw that up because they don't want him in jail. And it causes muddy waters. So the problem that you have with Gretna is basically the ceiling. Well, you don't have anything anywhere else. The problem in Baton Rouge is you have insanity ruling the roost. You have another killing just last week announced, and it appears you have a person who let his ankle monitor die. But I'm going to say again, Hiller Moore is proactive. He has the right tools in place to start to fix the problem, and he's doing that. He's going to fix it by holding the providers accountable, which is something we strongly believe in, because I think that if you're going to do these ankle monitors, that's where the buck stops, guys. If somebody's going to go out and kill somebody and I'm not watching them, you're going to shred me. Mike Perlstein's going to shred me. The courts are going to come after me because I've put us in a position where the buck stops here. So Baton Rouge is a mess, and people are getting killed by people on ankle monitors, and it needs to stop. But this area is protected, and it's protected really well. And the people that are in charge, it's not me. It's the judges. They rule everything. I am at their mercy. If I screw this up, I'm toast. So that's just where we are.
All right, let me take a break. We come back. You can walk us through ankle monitoring 101 for people that don't know and how this could help solve the insanity. We'll talk about the insanity of Baton Rouge. It's about accountability and, I guess, responsibility and knowing who, if you let somebody out of jail or if they're on bail and they violate, then taking the appropriate action and not being able to say, oh, well, I didn't know. 917, Tommy Tucker, back in a flash. WWL, if you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oak Renard Jeweler Talk and Text Line. I'll pass them along to Matt Dennis when we come back on WWL. 921, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Matt Dennis, electronic monitor provider, bail agent, about ankle monitoring. There's not enough room to keep everybody in jail. And I like Matt's approach because he's not a lock 'em up, throw away the key guy. He understands that people that have been charged with offenses need to go to work. Yeah, if you could keep them in jail and not let them work, or at least interrupt the life, well, you got to be prepared for what's going to happen after that. So his idea is, okay, if they're not a particular threat to society, let them out, put an ankle monitor on them, but don't let the judge say, well, I didn't know they were out. I didn't know what was going on. There is a way the technology exists to monitor them closely and know when they don't do what they're supposed to do and alert the people that are supposed to know this when they do violate or do whatever they're going to do. Let's talk about ankle monitoring. Let's say, for example, Matt, a judge in New Orleans decides somebody needs an ankle monitor and you're the company that's going to do it. What happens then from that process on to make sure that the person's not in jail, that they do what they do, they're supposed to do, and they don't hurt anybody else? Or if they do, they're responsible for it.
Right. All right. So then, listen, this is easy because first, it's not that I'm not about lock them up or don't lock them up. It's not that for me. A judge will have a person sit in front of them in New Orleans. When you get arrested on a felony charge, you will most likely spend the night. You will see a judge either the next morning or the next afternoon at 3 p.m. That judge will hear your history and your charges, and they will set a release condition accordingly. They're going to set bail. And that secures your return. That makes sure that there's a third party based on your history and charges that's going to return you. And now, if you have another issue like domestic, or maybe you're a particular threat because your crimes are greater, and unfortunately, we back ourselves in a corner with this really tiny jail, okay? So we have nowhere to keep this high volume of people. I know city council just released their arrest numbers, and they've tanked down to next to nothing. That doesn't mean crime went away, guys. That just means we don't have anywhere to put people, so we're arresting them. And that has hurt NOPD. They don't know what to do.
Wait. You go pretty fast. Go back and say that part again. That's very important, what you just said.
Well, the city council just released their paper, their numbers showing an arrest decline. And they present that almost like it's a good thing, but it's not. We've gone from, 7,000 beds to 1,200 beds. Where do you put people when you arrest them? We've changed the laws to be you can't really arrest people. You got to give them a summons. And that facilitated fewer people going to jail, which facilitated a smaller space. And this was the thinking. Okay, now where we are is we have a number of people committing felonies that they really don't have any room to keep them. So you have judges being forced based on that they have to find a different deterrence. And you can either set really high bail, which causes people to be kept, or they can set lower bail and add supervision. Now, if supervision is a front and a fake, then you're going to hurt your community, i.e. Baton Rouge. But when it's like it's run in New Orleans, where the judges are in control, you have something that actually works, and it becomes an extension of your jail and an extension of freedom. Remember, this isn't first-time low-risk nonviolent people. These are people who've earned their way into this level of supervision. So that's the short version of what GPS is in New Orleans and what it's growing to be in Louisiana.
So is it working in Orleans Parish now?
It works brilliantly.
Are they using it? The question, Matt, is not does the technology work, but are the judges using it, juvenile court, et cetera, to the best of its ability?
Juvenile court is our last major hurdle. And again, the Iron Curtain hates the fact that we can see behind it, and that's one of our biggest problems. If Stephanie and others can lift that Iron Curtain, you've solved the problem. So, yes, the courts use it. The judges use it. But the judges don't just use it because they use it because they have someone to grab a hold of and say, man, what's going on? I get phone calls. Jill, our director, gets phone calls constantly that says, what's going on here? And we have to be able to have that answer instantly. The judges don't give you breaks. They don't give you chances. When you're sitting in our seat, it's pretty tough. So it works very, very well. Juvenile court is our huge hurdle right now. And that's that Iron Curtain that's causing it.
Somebody texted in and said, why can't the perps be picked up the moment they go beyond the parameters of their monitoring area? Why do we have to wait until they commit a crime?
Well, first of all, so you don't always know they're committing a crime. They might run out and do a purse snatching. What's the parameter? Say a person has 24-hour home incarceration, can't leave. If they leave, a report goes directly to the judge, and the judge gets to make a decision. Why is it that way? Because nobody in the machine wants to fill the jails up. So we're supposed to dance around and make sure that everybody gets to choose. And I actually kind of like that because it should be up to the judge. Judge, they left. This is your order. This is what they did. And the judge will say, go get them. Or the judge will say, get them into my courtroom. Or the judge will say, nothing. And when they say nothing, that's their problem. They turn the thing into them, not us. Because all I can do now is keep saying, judge. Now, we have a second layer. We can go to the bail agent and say, look, this judge is going to cause a bigger problem. Maybe you should intervene. And almost always, the bondsman says, we're going to have this person brought back to the court. We're going to tell the court that we're not going to watch him if the court's not going to help. and you end up with a system. If it's a logjam, it breaks free and everybody starts to work together. This has forced a lot of people to actually become accountable. And we say accountability a lot, but do we ever show what that looks like? And this is it. You've been there. You've seen it. That truly does answer the question, and it doesn't work if we don't all work together.
All right, so somebody is out, and they go where they're not supposed to do. How long does it take for you to find out, and then what happens from there?
All right, so you have a person who has a victim, and the victim has what's called a victim fob, which is this little device, and they get this roving stay away. If they're at the mall, you can't go to the mall. If they're at the fair, you can't go to the fair, okay? And it's just that simple. If you do, the first layer is us and our team. We start moving immediately. The second layer is the bail agent and their team. While that's happening, we're notifying local law enforcement, court agencies, probation, parole, whoever it is, and they begin to move. All of these steps end up with a result, and that result is put on paper and it's sent to everybody involved. If it's true, if it's real, you know, the case in Baton Rouge where the gentleman caught the house on fire, you know, that was a terrible, terrible story. But if it wasn't for this program, it never would have been able to truly been solved. So, you know, we have issues where communication is the problem, but teamwork solves that. So
tell me about what happened in Baton Rouge for people that don't know.
Okay, you have a case in New Orleans where a gentleman is seen by NOPD. The victim calls police. He's sticking a gun in her face. He's threatening to kill her. She talks him down. He goes to jail. He gets put on an ankle monitor by a New Orleans judge. He has a stay away. He does stay away. He moves to Baton Rouge. He finds a new girlfriend. He ends up having a child with her. In January of this year, we get notified by this family that, you know, there's a domestic issue. There's a stay away. He's extremely violent. He's slashing tires. We don't have any authority on that case in Baton Rouge, but they've asked, can we help? So we say yes. And we start to work to get the two DA's offices together to understand that each parish is having a problem with the same guy with different victims. In that process, this guy attacked the victim by going to her home and catching it on fire. While we were on the phone with the Baton Rouge police at the time it was happening, and the victim, she didn't call 911 when she saw it on her camera. She called our director, and she was on the phone with our director while our director was on the phone with 911. And that is how all of this came together in Baton Rouge. And now he's being held in Baton Rouge and Orleans on no bonds because he's a terrible threat to these ladies. Now, the good thing was because we were involved, we were able to get this lady and her new child to a safe location that he knew nothing about, where she was staying, and he didn't know that. So he thought he was going there to harm her, but she wasn't home and hadn't been home in days. So, you know, this is a level of coordination and cooperation that makes things possible.
If you could change anything statewide as far as the laws go, what would you do, Matt?
Oh, it's two things. We got to do exactly what your previous guest said. Eliminate that Iron Curtain immediately. That's number one. And number two, we have to create these standards that dictate step-by-step what it is monitoring programs must do. You have GPS. We don't need GPS. That's the people don't understand it. They see GPS, they think it's something that works. It's not magic. You need supervision. The thing on the leg does nothing if you're not monitoring it and managing it properly. And if you don't have arrest powers, why are you doing it? And that's why we're different. We actually have always had these arrest powers. This isn't something new. We just are able to apply it properly in the way that the courts can use it properly. And that's what makes it different. So we need to codify this, and we need to make this the standard. And once you do that, you'll get rid of the Baton Rouge problem overnight. So you can kill the problems by eliminating the Iron Curtain in front of juvenile court and codifying GPS. You've already codified post-conviction. All you got to do is convert that to pre-conviction, problem solved. And it's simple. And it's going to be, again, people like Stephanie that's going to do that, I hope.
Somebody texted in an interesting question. Could this technology evolve? And I don't know how much more there is to evolve, but because you know a hell of a lot more about it than I do. But is there any way this could evolve where you could, for nonviolent felons, make it easier for them to get out of jail and under supervision, maybe resume a normal life?
GPS is just GPS. It's no different than what's in your car. Mm-hmm. It's not the evolution of the technology. You can't, I mean, better, faster, whatever, more satellites means nothing. It's how you use it that's evolving, and that's the difference.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Where does that go from there?
It continues to do what we're doing. The legislation is going to be key. Once you do that, you're going to get rid of all the fly-by-night people. And then you have to get rid of the activists trying to take it over and crazy stuff. But, you know, I think the biggest problem facing GPS is that people don't understand what it really is, that you don't have nonviolent, low-risk people going on GPS. What you helps is, let's say you have a case that the person is sentenced to 3 or 4 years because that's what the state mandates. And it's not really a violent crime. They didn't really do something bad. You know, it was just against the law. And that person doesn't necessarily have to go to jail. The law, Article 894.2, allows for a person to spend that time on an ankle monitor. And that's just like going to prison. And there's a real kicker to that, because if they violate and screw up on the last day, they actually have to go to jail and serve their whole sentence. So they are incentivized to do right. They're required to work. They're required to take part. They're required by the law to pay for it. So it's a perfect post-conviction scenario when it's nonviolent, low-risk people. But pre-conviction, I don't advocate. Listen, if you're a repeat offender and you don't go to court and you don't pay your fines, then you need to pay the price. So low-risk nonviolent means nothing to me. Well, you become a risk when you don't follow the rules like the rest of us. So a person who's on a nonviolent crime could be paying a price, but I don't advocate keeping them up front or putting them on ankle monitors or supervising them this way. Not until they've proven they're a problem. History and charges.
Thank
all
you.
About history and charges.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your time. Matt Dennis, electronic monitor provider and bail agent. It is 9:33, 27 till 10. When we come back, we'll talk to Tom Trung about his new podcast. Right now, time for traffic on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.